This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by EDX. Until now, quality education or even higher education seemed out of reach for many. Well, now there's EDX, an online learning destination where you can take fascinating free courses from the world's best universities. Go to edx.org/WTT to start learning for free today. That's edx.org/WTT. And by Harry's, for guys like you who want a great shave experience at a fraction of what you're paying. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code WHATTHETECH when you check out. What the Tech? Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theroux. How are you doing, Paul?
Yellow. I'm pretty well.
Second take. Got it right on the second take. We've been doing this for only, 3,000 episodes.
Sure.
And I still can't get the intro right sometimes.
I'm sure I'm the bigger problem than you are, but it's okay.
Oh, my God. How you doing, Paul?
You know, I'm getting there. A little tired after my trip to New York.
You are back, however.
Yep.
Paul was in New York, and that's why we didn't do the show on Tuesday. Normally, we record the show on Tuesday, but you know, sometimes the schedule changes, and we have the available schedule to say, you know what, if it doesn't work on Tuesday for Paul, we'll do it on a Thursday. Only be a couple days late, and I kind of feel like we benefit from this because it is like crunch time in the world of Windows. And
is it?
Yeah, I don't know if you know. There's a thing.
I had noticed. Is there stuff happening?
Windows 10 is coming out, or as someone called it the other day, Windows X.
Yeah.
Someone called it Windows X, and he asked me, he goes, when is Windows X coming out? And I go, I have no idea.
You're allowed to open hand slap such people.
Windows OS X.
OS X.
Yeah. A lot's happening. Paul was in New York. Why were you in New York? I don't even know why you were in New York. Okay, for something. You were in New York for something.
No, I had some meetings. I had two work meetings.
Yeah. And we got together at the Rattle and Hum. We had quite a few drinks. Iaz met us. A lot of you would know who Iaz is.
Yep. Also Iaz, Liz.
Iaz's lovely girlfriend Liz came also, and a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real fun hangout. Paul made fun of me. But not for what you guys think he made fun of me. I was actually drinking beer.
Oh, right. Of course I did.
Steph yelled at me.
Yep.
That was
fun. By
the
way, just before you say anything, for the same reason.
For the same reason.
So to set the story correctly, my wife saw you first, made fun of you for something. I walked in an hour or two later, and the first thing I said to you was to make fun of you for exactly the same thing.
That's exactly what it was.
So my wife and I are just...
So
we're on the same page,
and she does the best Paul Theroux impersonation.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, it's so good! It's so good. She was repeating something that you said,
yeah.
And I go, "Oh my God, that's just." He's like, "I better get it right. It's 25 years, you know."
Well.
So it was a lot of fun. We have so much to talk about, but before we do, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the show, and that is EDX. Now, what is EDX? This is actually really awesome. I want to talk about our friends at EDX. They are revolutionizing the education world. Up to now, quality education or even higher education seems to be out of the reach for many people. I know a lot of people that want to go back to school or they want to learn something new. We're in the internet age, guys, and learning HTML5 may not be a bad thing if you want to kind of change careers and do some other things. Well, EDX is here to help you. They offer you... a wide range of online learning destinations. It's a lot of stuff going on there. A lot of free courses from the world's best universities, like Harvard and MIT. They have a lot happening. Harvard, MIT, Caltech, to name a few. Whether you just want to gain new skills or advance in your career, EDX could help you out. EDX has more than 500 courses from 80 different universities. So I'm going to pull up their website here, give you a good view of how it works. So, this is our landing page. If you go to edx.org/WTT, that's edx.org/WTT, but you can start learning for free. They got free. It's great. It's unbelievable. And why not? Why not learn something new? So you could do programming from scratch, introduction to Bootstrap, A lot of courses here, which I actually may take a course. I want to learn HTML5. See, I used to know a little bit of this stuff, Paul, and guess what happened? I ended up hiring someone to do everything, and I forgot how to do almost every single thing. I know Paul loves Linux, so he could learn Linux. Introduction to Linux is there. This is a really, really cool site. This is a really cool company. And they're offering, I mean, so many amazing, amazing classes. And you know, why not learn? Why not advance your skills? This is really cool. I emailed them, and I told them, I'm like, listen, you guys are starting a program with us. You guys are going to be advertising with us. But I actually want to do a class to kind of talk about it over the next couple of weeks and see, you know, how this is. You know, someone could tell you take a class, it's great. But until you do it, you have no idea what it is. And I know a couple of people that took this. They go, Andrew, you got to try it. You got to try it. So here I am. I'm going to try it. I'm going to start probably this week. I want to learn HTML5. It's edx.org/WTT. Give it a shot. Tell them we sent you. And I want to thank our fine friends at EDX for supporting the GFK Network and, of course, What the Tech. Paul.
Yes.
You teach me a lot of things. EDX is great, but I've learned so much from you. And I've learned not to listen to a lot of people on the internet. I don't know if you know that. A lot of people have misquotes. A lot of people make stories up. And I kind of want to talk about what Satya Nadella said about Windows Phone. He did, by the way, Mary Jo Foley. Shout out to Mary Jo Foley. Great interview. She asked a lot of great questions. I'll put the link in the show notes. It said, of course, ZDNet, or if you follow Mary Jo Foley, or even Paul or myself, we definitely retweeted and we commented about this. So let's find out what this is. Paul, Windows Phone is not dead, correct?
Well, no, I mean, they're going to continue the platform. Now it's Windows 10. Yeah. Microsoft is going to continue making Windows Phone handsets. Microsoft hopes that other companies will also make Windows Phone handsets. But they've said that if they don't, that they'll fill in the gaps. That said, they have really curtailed their mobile ambitions in the sense of their own first-party devices, right? I mean, obviously Microsoft has to be on mobile, and they are on mobile. But as far as their own devices, they're going to make significantly fewer devices. They're only going to have a limited selection of certain device types in market at the same time, a couple flagships. Couple phones aimed at business users, a couple phones aimed at emerging markets. And, you know, it's a major strategy change. I mean, the Windows Phone is dead kind of thing is kind of a tough one. I mean, Windows Phone has approximately 2.5% market share worldwide. So by some measures, Windows Phone is already dead.
But how could it die if it didn't really, you know, gain as much? It's not dead in the sense that they're saying, well, this is a total failure, we give up. They're re-strategizing, but, and we kind of covered this last week, shouldn't the strategy be, let's make less and put more effort into what we're doing rather than putting out? I mean, I've gotten really confused, and I covered this stuff. I don't know which Windows Phone is, like, there's a 730, 735,
630. I say this without any evidence, you know, but I feel like I like Windows Phone more than almost anyone on earth. That said, the phones they've released this past year, it's like, what the frick is this thing? It's like, it's another low-end something-something with the same sort of shell and the same sort of sensors and specs and a different number. And what does the number mean? It really has gotten stupid over the past year. They're really making it hard to be excited about Windows Phone when the devices they put out are so lackluster for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, there are exceptions. You know, the past year we've seen phones like the Lumia 735, which is wonderful, the 830, which is great, the 640 and the 640 XL are all pretty great. But those are the highest-end phones that they put out in the past year, and they are very much mid-range phones at best. The majority of what they've put out is, of course, you know, low-end garbage.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I saw a lot of the people on Twitter that are hoping, you know, there's this weird thing in technology where you pick a side, right? Like if Apple fails, you're proud, you're so happy. Oh, see, I told you Apple sucks and they're failing. And look, this sucks and that sucks. And you see that from the other side, too. And a lot of people saying, well, see, we told you my Windows Phone sucks and it's bad and nobody's going to use it and they're not going to get it off the ground. Why would you be happy for another platform to fail?
People are dicks.
Yeah. I mean, that really has something to do with it.
I can sort of explain it because I'm a psychologist.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dr.
I think what I'm about to say will be immediately obvious. I think people have a personal relationship with technology in general and with a smartphone in particular because it's such a personal device. You have it on you at all times. It fits in your pocket. It has all of your personal information on it. It's how you contact your friends. It's how you interact with the world. It says something about you. Whether you intend that or not, this phone is part of your personality. It's how you present yourself to the world. You know, just by being a fan of of Windows Phone. I'm still tired from traveling. Sorry.
I am a fan of Windows 7, actually. Who isn't?
I am too, but we're not talking about that. But just by saying that I am a fan of Windows Phone, I am in many ways sending a message to you and to others that I don't care about the status quo, that I don't care that iPhone is so popular. I'm an individual. I'm making my own choice. I choose this. I get that it has no apps. I don't care. Yeah. You know, you really are doing that. And people either know that explicitly or they're just doing it implicitly, whether they realize it or not. Same way that you're saying something about yourself based on, you know, you buy a house and immediately put up a fence between you and your neighbor, or you buy a certain kind of a car and it says something about you.
Sure.
You know, the choices that you make, food, drink, how you live. Yeah. And because this thing is so personal, I think people feel it personally. I would say for myself, I mean, in my own approach in history with technology, it's funny, after all these years, the stuff that I care the most about in many ways is the PC. And I have a much stronger affinity with the PC than I do to mobile. You know, even though I do carry around one of these devices every day, like most other people do. Of course, I work at home. And so maybe that partially explains it. I'm always in front of my PC. The times when I'm out in the world with my phone are in fact, the exception for me.
Yeah.
So the fact that Windows Phone doesn't have certain apps or doesn't do certain things or whatever to me has never really posed a real world problem. And I can also, I think, look at things like iPhone and Android, and you know, I don't need for Android or iPhone to fail.
Okay, so right? here's a great example. Here's a great example, and I tweeted this the other day. You came to Rattle and Hum. You take your phone out of your pocket. You know what phone it was? It was an iPhone. You know, it's whatever works for you at that moment. That's what you should use. Except if you're using Android,
We all need to make educated decisions. You know,
yeah.
Back in 2007, when Apple released the iPhone, it was very exciting, and the Microsoft solution at that time, even though, you know, I'm kind of like the Microsoft guy, you know, the Windows Mobile stuff was crappy.
Yeah,
and so in many ways, I was sending a message by using an iPhone. You know, when even the Windows guy is using an iPhone. That sends a message, you know, in many ways. And so when Windows Phone came out, I was very excited. Microsoft had something that I perceived to be better, that I preferred. But again, I don't feel that whole emotional thing around this stuff. And I think that, you know, a PC by nature, because it's work-related and has become more and more work-related over the years as entertainment-type things have proven to be easier or better to do on other platforms, you know, Xboxes in case of games, or, you know, phones and tablets for Facebook and stuff like that. You know, the way the PC has evolved is very pleasing to me because I think of it as a work tool, and that's what I use it for, and that's how I like to use it. And so the way this has evolved has worked out very well for me. But, you know, there are partisan groups in every little niche, you know, the people who are PC gamers who will never not use a PC for gaming, that refuse to see that this stuff exists. The people who don't believe they want touch on a PC or any kind of a device. These people are everywhere. So
yeah, I don't know. I have my weird, quirky things that I do, right? Like, I'm not crazy about touch on a PC. I personally don't need it. Now,
but you know
is
what,
it though? Because is it because I really don't need it, or is it because I've never really experienced it in a positive way for a long period of time? You know, I know people...
Touch on a PC is... I think people misunderstand it because... and I don't mean you by this. I mean just in general.
I probably do.
No, I don't mean I think you do get it. But I think some people say, well, I would never use that. Or I don't. Why would I need that? I have a touchpad or a mouse or something. Or I can type faster on a keyboard. It doesn't make any sense to me. But the way that touch has sort of evolved in the PC to me has been very organic and natural. That it becomes yet another way of doing things. You know, if you have a mouse attached to a laptop that also has a trackpad, you can use the trackpad and the mouse, and it doesn't take away from the experience. Likewise, if you have touch on the screen, it's interesting how some things actually lend themselves.
Yeah.
To using touch. And if you have a transforming device of any kind where you could use it sometimes as a tablet, it's just nice for that to be able to happen if you need it to. You may use it 5% of the time, but it doesn't harm you by being there.
No, it doesn't harm you. I wouldn't go out of my way and say, forget it. I don't want this. You know, I haven't had a need for it because I'm using it for a short period of time. I'm working on someone else's computer and has a touch screen. With Windows 8 around the corner, Windows 8, wow, that's funny. You're talking about Windows 7, I'm talking about with Windows 8 around the corner, Paul, do you think it's going to take off? Do you think this...
right.
You think this
Windows 8 is the future.
with Windows 10 around the corner, this may be an opportunity for Microsoft to kind of spin it. I know that it was a PR move and they jumped to 10 and they're trying to get far, far away from Windows 8. But by Windows 10 being a real positive experience, it can lend some help as far as Windows Phone goes for a lot of people. You know, perception. I mean, we talk about this all the time. A lot of this stuff is perception. Macs have the perception of being higher end, you know, the higher end computer. They are, but you're also paying the same price. You're paying a higher end price. And if you went and spent the same amount on a PC, on a Windows based laptop, you'd probably get an identical experience. You know, it depends on the perception of the product. So with Windows 10 being perceived as, wow, this is really good. If you go into a store and you see a Windows Phone 10, you know, it's still Windows.
Maybe. Just to throw cold water on that idea, the flip side of what I just said about PCs is that most people don't have a positive perception of PCs. And the fact that a PC is an efficient way to get work done is not necessarily very exciting to a lot of people. So, in the sense that a phone is a very personal device, your stuff is on here, your people and friends and family are on here. Your PC is a box that gets work done, and it's kind of the junky thing that you use from 9 to 5. And then when you leave, you're so happy to be back on your phone because this is where the fun stuff is.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, obviously Windows 8 didn't take off in a meaningful way. So a lot of the stuff that was in a kind of a big focus of Windows 8 has been pushed to the side or even removed in Windows 10. So for example, a Windows 10 phone, just like a Windows phone, is going to have this kind of tile-based user experience, and that's how you interact with it. But in Windows 10 on a PC, the tiles are very optional and are, in fact, the part that you're intended to customize. And I think a lot of people coming from Windows 7 in particular are going to look at those tile things in the start menu and say, I don't really need those, or I need less of those.
Yeah.
And I think many people will find the flashing, you know, animating little tile stuff that's going on in the start menu to be distracting. And in fact, the best thing about it is that it's usually not in your face. So I don't know. I mean, I would hope so. I would hope that people like Windows 10 enough to
try it want to buy a phone.
Yeah.
Well, but is there a phone to buy? I have a Windows phone. It's an older one. But if I wanted to go and say, okay, I want to buy a Windows phone, it's an outdated phone, pretty much, what I got on Verizon. Verizon didn't really get it. I don't know what to buy on AT&T if I'm walking into a store. I don't know what the flagship is. They haven't had one since the 15, right. The 1520.
The survey of, and this is like the United States too, right, where conceivably we would have some decent flagship type phones. But the survey of available phones for Windows Phone right now is, it's awful, you know, because there literally is no flagship phone available for sale in the United States that's a reasonable age and is not for sale, generally speaking, anyway. And so on AT&T, I think you have a choice of a 640 XL and an 830. On Verizon, you can finally get the 735. T-Mobile, I don't even know if they have a 735, but they at least have a 630 something and possibly a 535. I can't remember what's on T-Mobile, but in Sprint, as you know, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
If you're on Sprint, I think everyone on Sprint knows that. And then that's it. And I've just described a bunch of fairly middling mid-range handsets, you know, half of which were released last year. And this is not a good picture.
No, it is not. The other thing that kind of threw me off about, and this is a little different, there's different releases and different events at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that September 4th event where they're going to showcase hardware, right?
I'm sorry, the event?
September 4th, there's a...
Oh, this is the IDF or whatever.
Well, they're showcasing some hardware, right, for Windows...
Yeah, but at what it's at some other event,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I can't think of the name. Yeah. Well, I.
But you know, like it's going to be out for a couple of weeks. It's going to be out for a month, a month and a half, and then you're going to show the hardware. You're not really going to get that big pop at release day.
There are different things going on, right? So, I mean, Windows 10 is launching now, and it's launching now, so it can sort of meet the back to school thing. So it's what that means is it's launching now on PCs that were designed originally for Windows 8.1 with Windows 10 in mind in many cases. I mean, they knew Windows 10 was coming. Some of them will have a couple of hardware features maybe that can take advantage of unique Windows 10 stuff. But by and large, in July 29th, July 30th, August, we're going to see, you know, present day designs. The September timing for the device stuff is actually kind of interesting because that's the holiday season now. And the new hardware designs we're going to see from PC makers that will probably be based on Skylake, hopefully. Chipset from Intel, or at least in PCs and tablets, would be coming out in time for the holidays. And then, of course, Windows Phone, or Windows 10 Mobile, as we call it, is on a later schedule anyway. And so it's likely that, you know, September, October timeframe, we'll have events where Microsoft will show us the new phones they're releasing. And then those phones will come out in October or November, most likely, because that's just the way they always have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the timing isn't all that off. I mean, I think right now it's just a mad dash to get the thing done and into the hands of PC makers and into the hands of users who want to upgrade, because a big chunk of that billion people that are going to, you know, the billion number they were talking about is going to come from upgraders.
So with the Windows 10 upgrade, are people going to get it at different times on the release day? Like, is it not everybody's getting it at the same time? I'm hoping it's not, because that would be a disaster if, you know, X amount of computers are downloading it.
They can seed it now, right? So if you signed up for the reservation, presumably sometime between yesterday and the 29th, it could download to your computer over time so that it's ready to go on whatever day.
Yeah.
The way that they've said it is they're going to stagger the upgrades. So on day one, people who are in the Windows Insider program, it's about 5 million people, will be able to get it. Although, for whatever it's worth, as of today, they already have it. So I'm not really sure what that was all about.
So the insiders have it already, the final version.
Yeah, if you want it. I mean, you have to go into Windows Update and upgrade.
Yeah.
But it's there, you know, the final version. So my expectation is that on day one, July 29th, some percentage, and it's probably a small percentage, of people who reserved Windows 10 will get it, you know, or will be prompted to get it. And that over time, they're going to increase that number and, you know, kind of see how things go. Because as we've been talking about in the past, something as big as Windows, you can test this thing internally. Microsoft has crazy testing procedures that they have. They have 5 million people in the Windows Insider program, which is unprecedented. But that still hasn't, that doesn't compare at all to the sheer variety and diversity of all the systems that are out there in the world. And so when you start hitting the normal people, they're going to, you know, they're going to run into issues that the insiders just never saw. So we'll see how it goes. I have high hopes, but low expectations, I guess. That's the right way to say it.
I like that. I like that. Let's talk about the Universal App Store, Paul.
Yeah.
What can we do? What do we know about this?
So I don't actually think this is that big of a deal. I put aside these – I tweeted about this morning. But in investigating this more closely, I think people are curiously trusting of this story that, like, they're unifying like an app store, you know, like that this means anything. Microsoft has an app store today on Windows Phone. They have one in Windows 8. They have one on the Xbox, you know. Obviously, these things are going to be different apps because they run on different platforms. But the back end of those stores, it's all the same thing. It's they don't have three stores, you know, like up in their own cloud or data sure. centers or something. It's all the same back end. So the notion that they're putting these things together to me is a little strange. But if you were to go to the web like yesterday or today or any day in the past, if you went to apps.microsoft.com, what you would see is, well, actually you wouldn't see much. But from that URL, you could search for apps. For some reason, they don't actually have a browsing experience there. So if you said
where?
Like
where
the apps.microsoft.com.
Okay.
So for example, if you know that there is an app on Windows 8 that you want to know more, or you want to see the store page for on the web, you could type in something like OneNote, site colon apps.microsoft.com. Yeah. And what you would get to would be, in the search results, would be that app for Windows 8.
Okay.
Right? But you can't really browse apps.microsoft.com, I don't think. It's a little strange.
Can you? There's a search.
Not really.
No, you cannot.
You can't. It's there's no browsing experience. Now, but if you go to windowsphone.com, I believe there is, in fact, yeah, there's an apps and games link. And when you go to that, which is...
search apps and how-to.
Okay, now it goes to the news store. So, but in the past, what it would do is go to the Windows Phone store on the web, and you could browse the site on the web. You could look at apps, and then you could even install the apps remotely to your phone, although that never actually worked for almost anybody.
So like how Google does it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What happened today was that they sort of soft launched the new unified store.
Okay.
And so oddly enough, the web version is based on the Windows Phone version, because when you go to windowsphone.com today and you click on apps and games, what you see is a new layout. It's the new layout. But there's a version of this for Windows now. So for the first time, you can browse Windows apps on the web. And so if you change that URL to just at the end, instead of, you know, it says Windows Phone at the end, just change it to Windows, you'll see exactly the same site. But now what you're doing is browsing the Windows apps.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't actually see this as a big deal. All this is a giant database, and this is the front end for the database, and they've made some kind of
So pretty
of
much
layout.
If you, whatever device you're on, that's what you're going to be able to search.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, it doesn't matter what device you're on because on the devices you'll have a native app store, right?
Okay.
This is just on the web, and so you could be on an Android tablet. You could go to this website and you could browse Windows apps on the web. I don't know what the point of that is, but you could do that if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm browsing now. I'm looking top free apps. I mean, it's pretty much everything you need. You know. I mean, their app store got a lot better. I mean, it's not like those crappy apps. I mean, they still have some. I don't know. See, here was the thing. When you saw those headlines, it was saying, well, Universal apps are here, and even Xbox. You could browse on Xbox. And you're thinking like, oh, okay, Universal apps. You're going to be able to browse. You're going to be able to download everything everywhere. So it's really just the new front end. With what they're doing here.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we have a date on when Xbox is getting the update?
No.
Still nothing.
Later in the year.
Still nothing.
They tend to do the big system updates on Xbox October, November-ish. So I bet that's when.
Okay. So around the time for the phone.
Yeah.
I would imagine for you now, you are constantly being bombarded by questions and, you know, how do you do this and how do you do that and all these things that are happening. I'm curious on how much of a change it'll be for just anybody that's been on a computer, you know, just like a normal person. Just like if you're using Windows 7, I mean, this is a free upgrade, right? Like think about with Windows 8, you kind of got forced into it. This, and you had to actually buy a computer. But if you're running a Windows 7 machine, you may have no clue that this is about to happen. You don't have
if you qualify for the upgrade, and this would be especially true on Windows 7 because those are all just regular PCs, you did get that little advertisement. You've probably seen it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what to expect. They're going to see the ad and they're going to be like, yeah, I want this. It's free. I'm going to click on it. And then just going to change everything for them.
Okay. I mean, I think it's mostly familiar, right? I mean, in other words, if you go to bed one night and Windows 10 is, you know, upgrades overnight and you wake up the next morning and you have a new system. So what you're going to see is the same desktop wallpaper you had. There's going to be a recycled bin on the desktop. All your icons are still there. Start button and start menu will be there. Different start menu, but it's there. All of your pinned items are still in the taskbar. still a tray with a clock. You know, the windows still float. I mean, it's
the same, but it's different.
It's yeah. Yes.
But
yeah.
Do you remember what happened with iOS when they went to the new look, the updated UI? And all these people did the upgrade, and they had no idea what it's supposed to look like, and they freaked out, and they're like, what is this? What did you guys – it was like, oh, my God, what is this? I hate it. I hate the look. I hate this. I hate that. I kind of perceive that you're going to see like a WTF Windows 10 hashtag happening on the day that people start getting the updates.
I don't know. You know, I'm not sure what to say to that. I mean, I don't think it's that radical. I think the one sticking point for Windows 7 folks could be the start menu. But that depends. I think we talked about this, right? It sounds familiar. I think we did talk about this maybe the last time we did the show. But it depends on how you do things. Starting with Windows 7, I had a real change in the way that I did things. I used to pin items to the start menu in a very specific way so that I had access to them.
Yeah.
With Windows 7, they introduced the concept of pinning shortcuts to the taskbar so you could launch from there. And I really embraced that. And I started using start less and less and less. And so in Windows 10, which is, you know, skewed just a little bit, but what you see is a list of most recent apps. You get the tiles, which I basically just ignore, and a few other links, you know. And the truth is all those things that are almost used are already pinned to my taskbar, so I'd never go here for that stuff. And I don't know what I use this for. I guess I use it to reboot the computer sometimes. I just don't use start. So
you rarely use the reason. Okay.
This is the reason why Windows 8 wasn't a big deal to me.
Because you weren't using,
I wasn't using it that much anyway. So starting at 8.1 at least, I can't remember. I think 8.0 also had it. The power controls were there, but maybe not. Maybe they were in the settings pane. But, you know, you could get to the power management stuff, shut down, restart, et cetera. You could log off. You could search, you know. And that stuff all works exactly the same. Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 10. If you hit the start button and you start typing, you're using start search. It's Cortana now. I don't think that really matters to most people. But it even, you know, the weirdness is that in Windows 7, start search would happen in line in the start menu. In Windows 8, start search would happen on the start screen. Mm-hmm. In Windows 10, start search actually happens in Cortana. It's kind of strange. So you start typing and the start menu actually goes away and Cortana comes up. But it's very seamless.
Yeah.
And even though it looks different, it's the same thing. Right?
Yeah. I'm curious on how a clean install is going to go with this. I haven't done a clean. I mean, I'm running it on a older machine here, but I didn't do a clean install. So if I want to format this thing and blow everything away, how am I going to be able to do that? That's my only concern.
This is an open question. Yeah. Right. As of today, we don't know. They have taken away the ability to download ISOs. We presume on the 29th that comes back. We'll see how they handle that.
Because it's not going to be an ISO, right? I mean, when I go to download
actually,
this,
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, that's what I want to know.
Kind of open it is.
I get asked this question all the time because I guess there are a lot of people out there that really enjoy formatting as much as I do. I do it
regularly myself.
I do it at least once a year on some of these machines here. Because sometimes
one of the goofy things during this beta is that Microsoft never made them. Well, not never, but almost never made the most recent build available via ISO immediately. So I would do a clean install off the previous build, and then once that was installed, I would upgrade to the newest build. Because the only way to get it at first would be through Windows Update, and it's goofy, but it worked. But I mean, I prefer to do a clean install.
Yeah. So I can't see the names on the chat. I'm sorry if I just see numbers because partially it's covered here. But it says you don't need to boot from a CD or USB anymore to get a clean install, a clean copy of Windows.
Yeah.
Yes. That's actually perfect. But what if it's in your
perfect
hard drive?
If you're up and running.
Yeah. If you're up and running. So what if you're replacing a hard drive? You know, how are you?
Yeah. Well, you could make recovery media, and you could run PC reset from that, right?
Yeah,
and that should work. But the problem is to be able to have like a full 100% chance of recovering a system or doing a clean install. What you really do need is setup media, full setup media, and the way to get that is an ISO file. And so I am hoping and expecting that they do that.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah, that's. I mean, obviously, you're going to be able to buy.
That's an interesting point. I mean, I have.
You're going to be able to go and buy it on what, August 16th? Something like that?
Well, it's not clear if that's the day or if that's just a, you know, just a fake date.
Yeah.
But yeah, August 16th.
And that'll answer a lot of, you know, that's like having
this is a lot. We're concerned about a lot of things that are very kind of goofy, time sensitive stuff.
I think a lot of us are concerned over because they haven't said a word about it.
I know.
So, right.
And by the way, we've asked,
and they're just not. Is there a reason? Is it that they don't have a strategy,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
They'll do it. They'll come clean at some point.
Yeah.
And hopefully the answer is not, you know, with Windows 10, we don't need to have ISOs. Look how easy it is to do this. And
it's, yeah, because then what happens if you have a virus?
All I have to say is they make Windows 8.1 ISOs available freely from the web. Anyone can get them. I demand that they do that for Windows 10. I can't imagine why they would not.
Yeah,
that's it. It's Microsoft. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if you're running it, then you should be able to go and download it and just reinstall it and make your own ISO. I mean, why wouldn't they do that?
Why wouldn't they? That's a fantastic question.
Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they have a flagship phone once a year, Paul?
Why do they hate us so much? I don't know.
All right, let's take a moment and talk about another sponsor of ours, and that's Harry's. For men who want to get a great shave, this is for you. I have a Harry's razor. I've been using it for a while. I don't really shave that often. So for me, this is a great investment because they don't dull out at all. And I'm using like the same blade. You know, I just shave around here. I just clean myself up and I'm good to go. And here's the thing. You go into a store, you're spending about $4 a blade. You know, they treat you like a criminal. It's locked away. You got to call somebody. You're banging on the glass. You're saying, give me my razors. And just sit there and wait. You know what? With Harry's, you don't have to worry about that. They mail it right to your door. It's free, really high quality. They have a whole line of products. They got the Winston set. They also have shaving cream and all different types of care products when it comes to shaving. And here's a great thing. You get $5 off your first purchase when you use coupon code WhatTheTech at checkout. It's WhatTheTech at checkout. Or you could go to harrys.com. Do we have another link? No, it's just put in WhatTheTech at checkout, guys. It's super, super simple. Really high quality steel that they're using. Really, really high quality blades. It's made in Germany. Phenomenal product. I talk about this all the time. And the story that I always tell is that I've been using the same razors for like 15 years. The same company, and they were great. But over time, I noticed that I'm getting a less of a shave with these things, and I'm throwing them out. Like after one or two shaves, I have to dump these things because they're literally tearing my skin apart because they're dulled out. They're cheaper razors, and they're not so good. Since I started using my Harry's, I think I've changed it twice, three times maybe, the blade. It lasts forever. I mean, it's the amazing thing. Maybe you shouldn't say it lasts forever because, you know, they want you to buy some. But I'm telling you, it lasts forever. Harry's.com. Use coupon code WhatTheTech at checkout and get $5 off your first purchase. If you haven't given it a chance, try it out. It's a great gift for any guy in your family. I bought it for Christmas. I bought it for everybody for Christmas. Harry's.com. I want to thank Harry's for supporting WhatTheTech and, of course, the GFQ Network. Paul, you shave with a Harry's.
I do.
Yeah.
Not today. Not today.
Yeah. Not today.
But, yeah.
Did you follow the whole debacle with the Amazon Prime Day?
Oh, yes.
So did you take a look?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And what did you see?
Let me tell you. So I was reading the newspaper in the morning, and there was something about it in the news thing. And I asked my wife, I said, Stephanie, have you heard about this Amazon sale thing? And she said, yeah. You know, she's usually not kind of plugged into this thing, but she's like, yeah, I'm going to go take a look at it when I go upstairs. I heard it was kind of a big deal. And I'm like, oh, you know, in the tablet I was on, I'm like, oh, it's too bad I don't have an Amazon app. I would look at this now. And I'm like, oh, I do have an Amazon app. And so I started looking at it, and I was like, what is this? You know, and then I thought, well, it's because I'm looking at it in the app. Like, clearly, I'm missing the point.
Sure.
And then you look at it on the web, and you're like, what is this? Like, I feel like there was a joke like played on me or something. Like, I don't understand. What is this?
Talk about overhyping something. You know, for weeks now, they were promoting this, saying this is going to be the biggest of all time, their biggest sale of all time. This is they're celebrating their anniversary, and all these things are going to be listed. And then they did this weird. It wasn't like a regular sale. It was they had things, and the sale was ending, and then it was coming back, and it wasn't stuff that you wanted. It was literally the junk that they had in their warehouse.
And that stinks. I mean, that really stinks.
Walmart, on the other hand, they had. I mean, they legitimately had great sales. They had great items for sale. And it's still happening. So it says no one-day sale here on Walmart's nice. Website. So nice. they're really putting it to
that. That would require me to actually go to Walmart's website.
Yeah, I'm there right now.
Thousands of rollbacks.
Thousands of rollbacks. You can buy 30 batteries, Paul, for 30 batteries plus another 10 for $17. You're getting 40 batteries.
So, you know, I'm looking at the – like, for example, I looked at the Kindle stuff. I'm like, yeah, maybe the – I wanted to buy the new Paperwhite. You know, maybe it's on sale. No, it's like the cheap, low-end ones on sale. And it's
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just terrible. Like 7-inch, the Kindle 7 tablet or whatever. It's like, guys, what is this?
You know what else, though? They said that it was one of their best days for profits. So for them, it worked.
That's terrible.
For them, it worked. And I just don't understand what it was. I mean, there were a couple things. You know, Jess and I were looking, and she's like, oh, look, actually, they had like a stroller. They had a very expensive stroller, and it was actually the cheapest that she's ever seen it. Okay. So, like, wow, this is actually a good deal. But I don't think people are going there. They're like, oh, I got to buy the stroller now. You know, it was like just like things are popping up, and their layout, the way that they did this, was so ass backwards. Like, it was the most bizarre thing.
I thought it was bizarre.
But a lot of people are pissed off over it, you know.
I understand that.
Yeah, I thought it was a big sale, and you know. But
It was the hype for this had reached like mainstream media, and it's like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, why are we talking about this? It is interesting that now, you know, Amazon Prime is one of the main reasons why I purchase stuff on Amazon, because it's so convenient and it's like there the next day, but. If Walmart's going to offer the same thing, because they're planning on offering their kind of Prime service, would you buy stuff on Amazon? I mean, do we buy stuff on Amazon because it's a great place to buy stuff, or is it because the shipping is what? Like, I could buy it on Newegg. I don't buy it on Newegg because Newegg is going to take them like 4 days to process the freaking thing.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon's amazing. Depending on what it is and where it's coming from, and you know what time of the day it is, you could get the thing. That day or the next day or something incredible. I mean, I mean, Amazon is just path of least resistance.
Yeah.
You know, I always look at Amazon first. And ultimately what that means is I almost always just buy stuff at Amazon. Very rare that I would have to go somewhere else to find something.
Yeah, but you know what? It's totally convenient. But right now they are the kings of online retailers. You know, they are the ones.
Yeah.
But at one point, someone else is going to come pretty close to them. And
I guess, but you also have to wonder, I mean, why bother, you know? One of the things, this is not a super common occurrence, but I would say 2 to 5 times a year, I will go to amazon.co.uk or amazon.fr, and I will buy something from France or the UK.
For what reason?
Because it's not available here in the United States.
Really?
And my account still works, and they ship it here. It doesn't come tomorrow. You know, it takes a little while. It's coming from France or something. But, and I'll do this typically for entertainment stuff. Like there'll be, you know, music CDs or DVD movies, I guess, or whatever, TV shows like Downton Abbey. I've been buying that every year. So, you know, for my wife for Christmas for the past 2 or 3 years, because it's available in time for Christmas there, but we don't get it until January on PBS.
Yeah.
So we can watch it over the period of a week or whatever.
So how much is the shipping?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, obviously you're not going to get the free shipping, but.
Let me look at my last order.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Let me try mine. Amazon.co.uk, because I have a co.uk account too. Sign in. I'm going to try this out right now also. Because I'm really curious on how this works.
Yeah, I mean, I can look at the stuff that I've ordered, you know. Yeah, so Downton Abbey, the last time I bought that. Actually, how can I find this out? So it's not that much. I mean, it's hard to say. I already have details. Let me look at that. It was. So the item cost was $16.66. That's in pounds. Postage and packing, $3.08. So it was 1974 pounds, which is $31.34 in US dollars.
Okay.
Not that much. I mean, actually, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so I'm looking. That's not bad at all. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to do that if that's the case.
And that's I'm looking. You know, I bought Sherlock, one of the seasons of Sherlock that way. I bought previous Downton Abbeys that way. I bought some Nokia accessories, right, for different phones from the UK version.
So I've never done it. I've never bought something from there.
Well, I mean, the things I've listed are all things that you either are or were not possible to buy in the United States.
Yeah.
Right. So in the case of this Lumia thing, I'm looking at this for the Lumia 520. It's from August 2013. The 520 was available in the United States through AT&T, but I couldn't, at least at the time, find the color shells. So I bought one of each from the UK where they were readily available. You know?
Interesting. I'm looking at the UK store. I'm curious on how they market it there, you know, products that are being marketed in the UK store compared to the US store.
Yeah. I mean, you should shop around for stuff. I mean, it depends on what it is. Like, you know, buying a phone may be not so inexpensive this way. But, you know, if you're looking for unlocked phones, obviously we have sites for like Expansys and so forth we can use here.
So, Paul, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We have a very, very good throwback to Thursday, I guess, now. It's not Tuesday. It's Thursday. So we're going to talk about that on the bonus show that we do. If you're watching live, stay tuned because we're going to do our bonus show. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, and we're going to talk about Windows 8. That is our throwback. Throwback Thursday is Windows 8. We're going to talk about that and the whole debacle around it. It's not too many years ago, but it is a couple of years ago, and we all lived through it, guys.
Yep.
Especially Paul. Paul had a very interesting experience.
We are the greatest generation.
We're going to talk about that. If you're watching or listening via podcast, this is going to be on our Patreon page. Patreon.com/whatthetech is the site. If you want to get access to it, we do it every week. And we accept everything. Nickels, dimes, quarters. Whatever you want to fund us, you want to help us out. We accept it, and you get access to a whole library of bonus shows that we do. And a lot of people are really enjoying the bonus content, the throwbacks that we're doing. So we're sticking with that as the theme for now until you guys get bored and you tell me, I don't like this anymore, Andrew, do something else. Because I actually really like talking to Paul about all the stuff that, you know, screwed up and was great, and now things are awful. Sure. We're going to do that. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarin. You can follow Paul at The Rot. TheRot.com is the website. I know you're going to have a busy couple days, Paul.
Yep.
A lot of articles coming up here. A lot of articles. Yep. And we did not talk about the iPod Touch. I forgot about the new iPod Touch.
There's not much to say.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be good. I'm not going to lose my mind over the price or the storage or anything like that.
Or the screen.
I'm not going to yell. It's over, guys. I've lost this battle with the iPod Touch.
Yep.
It's over. It is an 8-megapixel camera, though. So, very good. That's it for this week, guys. We'll see you all next week. Take care.